This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد My dear brothers and sisters, my fifth book of Jumu'ah khutbas, which will be inshallah published in the next few days, is called Race Towards Forgiveness. I titled it some time ago, but I think it's a very appropriate title, especially today in these days of COVID, where our mortality has been brought to our attention very graphically. As I write this, more than 250,000 people have died in America alone with COVID. Yesterday, they said that the COVID count of number of people who are dying with COVID in America has now gone up to 2,000 per day. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for relief from this pandemic for all people everywhere. This shows us the need, our need, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advised us to race towards. We must therefore reboot our attitudes and behavior and lives for this to happen. I remind myself and you that the purpose that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Islam was for us to live by it, not just to talk about it, not even to teach it, but to live by it. The purpose of teaching and learning is to enable the teacher and the learner both to live by what the message is, and that is the message of Islam as brought to us by our beautiful leader, the Messenger of Allah, the last and final messenger after whom there is no messenger, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. My brothers and sisters, COVID brought our lives to a rude halt. And then it forced us to look at ourselves, to relook at ourselves, and to answer the question that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us, فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ Where are you going? I remember a couple of years ago, I was invited to a function which was being done by a big school, and part of that function was recitation of Quran by the children, and one of the students, he recited this ayah, فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ Now, when it was my time to talk, they asked me to speak, so I asked them, I said, you asked a question, Allah asked a question and you didn't answer it, you just repeated the question. So I asked them, I said, if somebody asks you, where are you going? And you just repeat the question back to them, right? Imagine, do this role play. I'm asking you, where are you going? And you say to me, where are you going? I said, no, hold on, I'm asking you, where are you going? And you say, no, where are you going? Now, what does it sound like to you? It sounds like it's a sort of nutty conversation, right? It's like it's crazy. So either you are making fun of me or you're trying to be cheeky or something, because you're not answering my question. I'm asking, where are you going? Instead of answering my question, and what would be the answer to my question? The answer to my question would be that you tell me where you're going. So I'm going to the market, I'm going to the school, I'm going to the masjid, to the university, to wherever. But instead of telling me that, you are asking me the question again. I'm asking you something and you're asking me a question again. فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ And you say, فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ What does it mean? And what's the point of this? What's the point of repeating the same question? Now that is where COVID came, and COVID halted us in our tracks. And COVID said, you can't go until you tell me where you're going. Meaning, think about where you are going. My brothers and sisters, how many of us, maybe those of us who attended some kind of any vision course or any Seven Habits of Highly Successful People, Stephen Covey's course, or anything like this, anything of that nature, which focuses on personal development, on enhancing your value, on strategic thinking. I'm sure you would have come across this question in maybe different words, but effectively the same meaning, which is, where am I going? Meaning, where is my life taking me? Where am I going? Where am I headed in my life? I have been living for so many years. I have so many years of work experience. I have this education and so on and so forth. But where is my life leading me? I'm sure many of us have thought of this. This thought came into our minds by one way or the other. And many of us would then have procrastinated and said, you know what, I'm going to give myself some time and think about this. I wish I had some time to just sit down by myself, just one day, maybe even 1 hour, just to sit by myself without any disturbance, not having to go anywhere, no deadline, nothing. Just sit and reflect and answer this question for myself, not for anybody else, for myself. Where is my life headed? I'm sure all of us wish that. Believe me, our collective wish got granted when COVID happened, because we got time. We were stopped in our tracks and we were given all the time in the world. All the time in the world. For all of us, COVID forced us to reset our priorities, to reorganize our lives, to learn new ways of working and of relating to one another. New ways of behavior. A chance and an opportunity to reorder our priorities. Every one of us got a chance to do that. Some did, some didn't. But nobody will be able to say that they didn't have the chance to relook at their lives, to reorganize their priorities, to reboot themselves, to reinvent themselves, and to choose a better, more powerful, more successful, and happier path of life for themselves. Nobody will be able to say that they didn't have a chance. Anyone who has lived through these times, who didn't succumb to this COVID, may Allah protect us from it, and those who are affected, may Allah cure them. Nobody. We will not be able to say that I did not have a chance to stop what I was doing to reflect on my own life. Allah forced us to do that. Allah didn't just give us a chance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forced us to do that. Now, what will emerge from this still remains to be seen, but we hope that we as human beings will become more responsible and hold ourselves more accountable and learn to relate to each other with love and compassion and to the earth and its inhabitants as trustees. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His guidance for us all in the path of His beloved Messenger, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that our lives become a means of goodness for all those who share our lives and spaces with us. My brothers and sisters, I'm sure you will agree that this year has been unique in many unbelievable ways. Let me list a few. Who thought that we would pray standing 6 feet apart? How many of us remember the Imam saying, Suddul Khalal, Hadu Bainal Manakibi Wal Aqdam? Right? Close the gaps. Stand shoulder to shoulder. Today the Imam does not say that anymore. Because that is not what we are doing. We are standing 6 feet apart. And this is good. Alhamdulillah, this is the thing to do. Standing shoulder to shoulder would be completely wrong in these times, because you would be exposing yourself and others to infection by COVID and possible harm. So, Alhamdulillah, it is good in deen and it is good in ibadah, in worship, to stand with at least 2 meters or 6 feet of space all around us. But who thought that we would be doing this? Who thought that a time would come when our masajid would be completely shut down? I'm not even talking about only 10 people and so on. No, I'm thinking totally shut down, lock. Who thought that Ramadan al-Kareem would come and go without Taraweeh, without Qiyamul Layl, and without Aitikaf in the masajid? Who thought that even Hajj would come and would be done on a minute scale under strictly controlled safety regulations? We ask Allah to relieve us from this and enable us to worship Him the way and much better than how we used to worship Him, inshallah. Who thought that planes wouldn't fly, that offices would shut down, and that the daily commute would be from the bed to the desk in the same house or maybe the same room? Who thought that we would be able to reach, on the other hand, this is one side, on the other side, who thought that we would be able to reach an unprecedented number of people without moving from our desks? Who thought that international conferences and seminars with hundreds of people in attendance would be done without spending one single cent on travel and hotels? Who thought that children would go to school from home, and that homeschooling, which was something of a curiosity, would overnight become the norm? Now, what all this means for the travel and tourism and hotel industries and all those who work there is another story. I can go on, but I will leave you to add to this list. What is true, that every single one of us got our Vision 2020 very badly wrong. I want to point out all this and remind you that all of this happened thanks to a microbe, which is so tiny that it can only be seen under a microscope. Something that is neither man nor beast, nor bird nor fish. It's not, strictly speaking, even a microbe. Is it a living thing or not? We don't know. We are not even agreed on that. The jury is out on that. What we are agreed on is that it kills. This is the power of our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who can create anything He wishes and can bring all arrogance and power and prestige to the ground using something that is so tiny but not insignificant. I'm saying all this because there is one message that COVID came with loud and clear, and that message is for each one of us, and it is that I too can die. I too can die. Now, this may sound like a no-brainer, but I'm sure that we will agree that too many of us had gotten used to living as if we were immortal and unquestionable. Well, that fog has now been cleared. And there are over 1 million people in this world who would agree if they could talk. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that one day we will meet Allah. It doesn't matter whether we choose to believe that or not. It will happen. It will happen. And when that happens, we will be questioned about what we did and what we chose not to do. And on these answers will depend our eternal lives, which we will live without end. Death will die in this world. In the Akhirah there is no death. That is why it is essential that we make sure that we reach the Akhirah in a state where we will be entitled to the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and will be granted entry into Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this final test and the criteria for that final test. فَمَنْ زُحْزِيَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, and whosoever is removed away from the fire and admitted to Jannah, only that person is successful. The life of this world is only the enjoyment of deception. It's a deceiving thing. My brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree that all of us will be among those who are mentioned in this ayah and will be freed from the fire and granted entry into Jannah in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. I remind you and myself, what must we do when we are in the situation where we are facing a calamity that we really have no control over? Just think about that. What is the state of COVID-19? The state of COVID-19 is that all that we can do and all that we have been told to do, and of course I strongly recommend this and I advise you to do it, is to wash our hands, is to wear masks, and to maintain distance from each other. None of this is a cure. These are hopefully preventives, and we should follow them. But these are not cures. We need a cure. We need a cure. And that is the reason why we need to keep asking ourselves and say, as a Muslim, what can I do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us what to do. Narrated Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, our Rabb, Tabaraka wa ta'ala, descends every night to the nearest heaven when the last third of the night remains, saying, is there anyone to invoke me? Is there anyone who is making dua to me so that I may respond to the invocation, so that I may give him what he wants? Is there anyone to ask me so that I may grant him his request? Is there anyone seeking my forgiveness so that I may forgive him? And this is the Sahih Hadith in Bukhari. My brothers and sisters, many people have asked me this question and said, why is it that you emphasize tahajjud so much? Why is it that you emphasize tahajjud so much? And I would say that this hadith, inshallah, is my answer to them. Because if you think about this, one is to go to the king and ask him for a favor. Now he may give it to you, he may not give it to you. Because you went. But contrast that with the situation where the king comes and says, okay, I'm here to give. Who wants something? Now tell me, between the two situations, where is the dua? Where is your request? Where is your supplication more likely to be accepted? Right? So here is a chance. And this chance is not on a specific day in the whole year. It's not, for example, on the odd nights in Ramadan. It's not in the nights of Dhul Hijjah. It is every single night. Every single night. There is a time, which is the time of the acceptance of dua, where the one who grants the dua is asking us, who is there who wants something? Let him ask. Who is there who wants something? Let him ask. My brothers and sisters, seriously, let us think about this and say, do we take advantage of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? Right? And if the answer is no, then we have to ask ourselves why. Why would you not take advantage of the situation? Here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asking. And that's why, like somebody said once, that if you really want something and you're not praying tahajjud, then it means you don't want this. You're only saying that. You're saying, I want this thing so badly, so on, but really you don't want it. Because if you wanted it, how come you don't take advantage when the one to give, the only one who can give, there is nobody else other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can give. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's saying, tell me and I will give you. Who is asking this question? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking this question, saying, tell me, I'll give you. And we are not responding. So who is to be, who's responsible for this? My brothers and sisters, really, I think it's time we get serious with our lives, right? High time that we get serious with our lives. There's this beautiful hadith of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, which also I want to mention to you. It is in Tirmidhi. Ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, I was behind Rasulullah on a riding animal one day, when he said, oh young boy, verily, I am going to teach you some words of advice. And then he said to him, if you preserve Allah and protect Allah, meaning that if you are mindful of the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you protect the orders of Allah, meaning if you follow the orders of Allah, then Allah will preserve and protect you. If you protect Allah, meaning if you protect the orders of Allah, meaning if you live by them, then you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of you. If you ask, then ask only Allah. If you seek help, if you need help, then seek help only from Allah. And know that if the whole world gathered to benefit you with something, they will not be able to benefit you with something except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you and decreed for you. And if they all gather to harm you with something, they would not be able to harm you except with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed against you. The pens have been lifted and the pages have dried. Very famous hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. So what is this telling us? This is telling us and showing us what should be our priority. And our priority should be only one. And that's what makes life so simple. And that is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu in every situation. Never to do anything that is likely to displease Allah. And if we do that, inshallah, then we are sure, inshaAllah, of the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are living in the middle of a test. We are living in the middle of a calamity, of a pandemic. But there is nothing to fear. There is nothing to be hassled about. There is nothing to have a phobia about. Because Allah told us what to do. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, number one, follow the orders of Allah. We got a time, as I mentioned to you, Allah had asked us a question, where are you going? We said, no, I don't have time to answer now. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. So Allah stopped us and said, okay, now stop. Now tell me, where are you going? So let us take stock of our lives. Let us ask ourselves this question, where am I going? And let us answer that question. Where should I be going? Sa'ariu ila maghfiratillah. Allah said, race towards the forgiveness of Allah. Run towards the forgiveness of Allah. So where should we be going? Towards the forgiveness of Allah. How do we get the forgiveness of Allah? Number one, by abstaining from sin. By abstaining from, by staying away from everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. And the second thing is, by seeking forgiveness. By istighfar and tawbah. So I stay away from sin. But despite that, I know I forget. I know I may still commit some sin. I may commit a sin of lesser grievance and lesser gravity than the one that I intended to commit, alhamdulillah. But still it's a sin. So what must I do? Istighfar and tawbah. And if you do istighfar and tawbah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to forgive. Such so beautiful, isn't it? Allah promised to forgive. And Allah then said, Allah, if you do that, meaning that if you try to follow the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will protect you. Now if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if Allah is protecting me, then how can I get affected by COVID? Or by anything else? How can I get sick if my Rabb is protecting me? Now, the second part of the hadith is that Rasulullah ﷺ said, whatever Allah has decreed for you, you will get. And whatever He has not decreed for you, you cannot get. Now, there are both, within quotes, good and bad aspects for this. You might say, well, you know, I wanted $1 million, but Allah didn't write for me. Sure. He also didn't write COVID for you. Alhamdulillah. Now you tell me which one you would have preferred. You got $1 million, but then you end your life on a ventilator in a hospital. Would that be nice? Is that preferable? So we say, Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. All praise and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every situation that we might be in, because we don't know the wisdom behind that situation. We don't know the reality of that situation. The situation itself seems to us to be good or bad. Today, think about that. As I'm speaking to you, you know which is the most troubled pillow in the world to rest your head on? The most troubled. Do you know which is the most difficult and the most troubled house to live in? The White House. The most troubled pillow is the pillow on which the president's head rests when he tries to sleep. So on the face of it, in this world today at least, people think that the final, ultimate point beyond which a human being cannot go, the daraja, ultimate daraja of this world is President of the United States. There's nothing superior to that. That's what people think, right? Well, go ask the president that. Go ask him that. Does he agree with you? I don't think he will. Because he's going to say that this is a very difficult job to do. This is a very difficult place to be in. A very tough situation. I'm not talking about good and bad. I'm just saying that this is what he's going to tell you. He's going to say this is a very, very difficult situation to be in. This is it's not easy by any stretch of the imagination. You think it is so great because you are not the president of the United States. But if you were the president of the United States, then you would probably be in agreement with me that this is not a nice place to be in as we speak. We do not know the reality of things. We ask Allah. We make a lot of dua. Alhamdulillah, nothing wrong making dua. Ask Allah. But also remember, two things. Firstly, the one that you are asking can give you anything he wants. Because he owns it all. Everything belongs to him. There's nothing that he doesn't own. If it exists because he created it. And so he owns it. And so he can give it to you. Right? Second thing is that in his wisdom, because he wants the best for you, because he is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim of Dunya wal Akhirah, he is the most beneficent, the most merciful in this world and the next. Because of that reason, he doesn't always give you what you ask. Because you ask out of your desire and your desire is full of foolishness. You don't know what you are asking. And if you are given that, it's very likely that you will turn around and say, oh my God, what is this thing I got? Please take it back. I don't want this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts your dua, treats it as ibadah, rewards you just for making the dua, and then he gives you according to his wisdom. Which obviously, I mean, there's not even a comparison, so I don't even need to say it's better than yours and mine, because, you know, what's the point of saying something like that? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us according to his wisdom and according to his mercy. This is the beauty of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you're worshipping somebody whose mercy has no limits, whose treasures have no limits, whose generosity has no limits, whose power and glory and majesty has no limits. This is Allah. I remind myself and you, therefore, that when we stand in Salah, let us first spend a couple of minutes reflecting on who we are standing in front of. And so that we can stand in front of him with the kind of awe the awe and majesty of Allah must be in our hearts. With that sense of standing in the presence of Rabbul Alameen. My brothers and sisters, that is where we look at this hadith of Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu about tahajjud. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised those who wake up and pray tahajjud. In Surah Sajda, Allah said, تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفٌ وَطَمَعٌ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that these are the people who get up from their sides in the night. They get up from their sides and they stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala بَيْنَ الْخَوْفِ وَطَمَعِ, between hope and fear, between fear and hope. بَيْنَ الْخَوْفِ وَطَمَعِ, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment. Fear because we have not done what we should have done. We know this. So we are afraid. وَطَمَعِ, but we have hope. We have hope in the forgiveness of Allah. We have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah says, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسُ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ عَيُونَ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah said, nobody knows what Allah has kept hidden. But if they knew that, it would become the coolness of their eyes. The key is this. The key is to change our attitude from doing something as something which is an imposition. I must do this and this and this and this and this. To doing it out of love and say, oh SubhanAllah, I love to do this thing. I love to do this thing. Sometimes in terms of charity, I tell people, give until it hurts. And then when it hurts, know that it is hurting because your iman is weak. Because if your iman was not weak, why would it hurt to do something which is beneficial for you? Giving charity, who does it benefit the most? The giver or the receiver? The receiver is getting some money, or is getting some, you know, food, or is getting some clothes, or is getting something material for this life. But the giver is getting something in the akhirah. What the receiver is receiving will end in this life. If he has got food, he will eat the food that's gone. After a while, his hunger returns. If he gets some clothing, he wears the clothing. After a while, the clothing gets torn. He needs more clothes. Whatever the receiver receives is to do with this dunya, with this material life. But what the giver is getting is the rida of Allah. What the giver is getting is Jannah. What the giver is getting is Sadaqatul Jariyah. What the giver is getting is not something that money can buy. So who is more fortunate in this transaction of giving and receiving of charity? Think about that. Who is better off? The giver or the receiver? That's why Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prohibited us from extending our hand and asking anybody. Unless you are in such dire straits that literally your life is at risk. You know, 3 days, 4 days of fast, of fasting, of having no food, or starving. But anything less than that, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam included, including the famous hadith which all of us know, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He likes the strong person compared to the weak person. So He likes the upper hand compared to the lower hand. So the question is to think about this and say, how can I develop a love for good deeds? A love to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When that happens, the getting up in the night for tahajjud will not be difficult anymore. It will be very easy. Will be very easy. People who get up every night for tahajjud are people who understand the value of that. So they get up. They don't have to be woken up. Nobody's got to go beat drums to wake them up. No. They wake up. And if they ever miss a day of tahajjud, they fall into regret. They're so sorry. They're so regretful. They say, SubhanAllah, how did this happen? How on earth did I miss this tahajjud, this salah, this beautiful salah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was there asking, and I was not there to reply. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself of you, let us focus and let us take advantage of these beautiful things in this deen, which are small things, but hugely significant, hugely powerful. So don't go and get carried away by saying, oh, you know, just 2 rakat of salah. What? No, that 2 rakat of salah is worth more than this whole world and everything that's in it. And that's the reason I remind myself of you. Let us focus on the tahajjud. Let us ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for relief from this pandemic. Let us ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to see the beauty and value of whatever He chooses to give us in this world. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for khair for you, for barakah for you in your lives. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to
help you in ways that you cannot imagine. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve you from all suffering. I ask Allah to protect you from all evil that you know and that you don't know. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and never be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.